1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we are going to read from verses 17 through 34. And as I said this morning, I'm going to be speaking on what most Christians are missing in the Lord's Supper. Let's start there in verse number 17. Paul says, Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we look at this subject tonight. Father, as we come tonight to your table, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand exactly what this is all about. Lord, I pray that we would put aside our preconceived ideas or traditions. And Lord, as we look at your word, to understand exactly what you want from us, exactly what this means, and exactly what it does for us. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to continue to lead and to guide us. And Lord, we're thankful for him in our life. Lord, it seems that as the years go by, just more and more is being enlightened unto me, and we thank you for that. Lord, I know it's not just me, but many of your people here, the more and more we study, the more we understand about your word, and the more it leads us and guides us, not just into knowledge, but into holiness. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word, for giving it to us. And Lord, as we study it, Lord, the profound impact that it can have in our life. We thank you again for this time that we can gather together as brothers and sisters, have good fellowship one with another because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Like I said before, when it comes to partaking of the Lord's Supper, there are two main extremes. The first is exemplified here in our text. The Corinthians had turned the Lord's Supper into a time of drunkenness, gluttony, and selfishness. The other extreme is how most of us, and I would say Christians of our stripe, observe the Lord's Supper. We view the Lord's Supper as mainly a time of deep personal introspection and self-examination. I believe neither of these extremes are what God intended from his supper. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a time of self-examination. I think there is a place for that if understood and done properly. What I'm saying is that in our zeal for gravity, we have forgotten gladness. And while we fervently look inward, we have forgotten to look around us, to those who sit with us at the table. Again, this is something the Lord's been working in my life about. So let me state that again. In our zeal for gravity, we have forgotten gladness. The time of coming to the Lord's table is a time of joy. And also, because we so zealously look inward, because I think of an improper view of self-examination, we have forgotten that this is not a me thing. It's an us thing. Again, I believe we as Christians have a lot of things right about the Lord's Supper, so please don't get me wrong. But I believe we have missed some things about this time that we call communion. I have three things, at least, that I have tried to understand better that I'd like to share with you tonight. First, we miss the fact that this meal is for sinners. Let me state that again. We miss the fact that this meal is for sinners. Look in our text, verse number 24. The Bible says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." Now, when Christ said those words for you, because Paul is telling us what the Lord said at the night of institution, when Christ said those words, you, or for you, who is he speaking to? His disciples. Now, stop and think about that for just a second. Who are the disciples? People that often didn't listen to what he said. People that constantly doubted what he said. People who that very night when Jesus said, "Let's go pray," fell asleep. The very people that Jesus said, "Will you follow me to death?" And they forsook him. And he instituted the supper with them. As we gather here tonight around this Lord's table, we must remember the same thing. This supper is not for perfect saints. It's for sinners. And I think sometimes we go too far to an extreme. And I blame pastors in the pulpit. So much so that people will refuse to partake of the Lord's Supper because they feel like they're a sinner. Well, guess what? We're all sinners. Not one of us is perfect. That's exactly why you need to take the Lord's Supper. Christ didn't look at his disciples and say, "I know who you are and I know what you're going to do. Don't take it." He said, "Take it. It's for you." Go with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew's account here. Matthew 26, verse number 27. "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The whole point of the Lord's Supper is to remind us of what Christ did for sinners, not what Christ did for perfect people. We have somebody else trying to get in. Praise the Lord, they just keep coming. The Lord must have heard me at the beginning complaining a little bit. And he said, "We'll send some more your way. Hey, I'd rather you be here late than never come." Praise the Lord. But here in Matthew 26, in the Lord's Supper, the institution of the Lord's Supper, he's reminding them what it's all about. "I know you're sinners. I'm doing this for you, sinners." Again, if you wait until you feel worthy enough to partake of the Lord's Supper, you'll be waiting an awfully long time. If you wait until you're perfectly right with God to partake of the Lord's Supper, again, you'll be waiting an awfully long time. I want you to remember tonight, and don't miss this point, that the meal is for sinners. Sinners who have been saved by God's grace. But sinners. I think sometimes we focus so much on our sin and our failings that we forget the forgiveness that we have in Christ. I like what one man said. He said, we can and should approach the table boldly and gladly because the patriarch at the head of the table sits on a throne of grace, making it a table of grace. Yes, I believe that we should humble ourselves and confess our sin. Don't get me wrong. But don't think you have to remember every sin you committed since the last time we've taken the supper. Because if you don't remember every sin and confess every sin that you're eating and drinking, damnation to yourself. That is not at all what the Bible is saying. I hope to show you that. Because how do you know you've remembered everyone? How do you know if you confessed everyone? You're going down a path that you can never actually fulfill. Again, I'm not saying that if something comes to your mind, confess it. But it's not all about looking in at how bad I am. It's looking up and saying how good He is. He's a God of grace. So don't be so somber and introspective that you fail to rejoice in the forgiveness that is pictured at this table. Secondly, we miss the fact that this meal is to be taken with thanksgiving. Notice again verse 24, back in our text. And when he, that's Christ, had given thanks, he brake it and said, verse 25, after the same manner also, he took the cup. So giving us an understanding, he did the same thing again. He gave thanks. The phrase given thanks here comes from one Greek word, Eucharisteo. This is why some people refer to the Lord's Supper as the Eucharist. And that's absolutely proper. It is the thanksgiving. But again, sometimes we get so wrapped up in self-examination and introspection that we miss how incredibly thankful and grateful we should feel as we sit and partake of the Lord's table. I want you to take a second tonight and think about the prodigal son. We know that story. When he comes home, what does the father do for the son? Celebrates. He puts a feast out. He kills the fatted calf, and everybody sits down at the table. Now, again, think with me here. What if the son sat at the table and he sulks as he remembers everything bad that he had done to the father? Do you think that's what the father wanted from his son? That's not the attitude he wanted from his son. That would have honored the father. What would have honored the father? That he sat down and he would be overjoyed that he had a seat at the father's table. When the father put the music on, you know what he wanted from his son? Not to sulk, but to shout and sing like he had never done so before. That would have pleased the father. But yet we come to God's table and we look inside and we sulk about how bad we were. Don't get me wrong, there is a place for self-examination. It's before the table, not at the table. It is now your time as you sit at the table to be overcome with joy and gladness for what the Father has done for you. Again, self-examination has its place, but I believe it's best done before we get to the table. I let you know, tonight we're doing this. If you need self-examination, do it at home. Okay? Do it before the table, not at the table. At the table, be joyful. At the table, be glad. We're going to sing some songs right before we partake. Sing like you've never sung before. Why? Because I get to sit at God's table. I don't deserve to be here, but He has set me here because of Christ. We see the difference? It's time to be overcome with God's goodness and grace and respond not with sulky attitudes, but with gratefulness and gladness in our hearts. Thirdly, we miss the fact that this meal is a family meal. Let me say that again. This meal is a family meal. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 16, he's talking about the cup of blessing. Verse 17, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. Go with me then to chapter 11, verse number 29. Again, we'll get to this understanding of what this means to examine, but notice what he says at the end of verse number 29. Well, let's read the whole thing. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Why? Why is a person eating and drinking damnation? Not discerning the Lord's body. What is the Lord's body? Us. We are the body of Christ. Go down to verse number 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. The Lord's Supper is not a solitary and individual event. It is a community event. It's not a TV dinner for one. It's a fellowship meal for the family. Again, much of the time, though, when we come to the Lord's table, we focus solely on ourselves. But let me remind you, this time isn't just about you and the Lord. It's about us and the Lord. When we miss that, we are not properly discerning the body. You alone are not the Lord's body. I alone am not the Lord's body. We together are the Lord's body. And we need to properly discern that if we are going to partake in a worthy manner. Again, it's in this context that Paul gives his warning and command to examine. Again, notice verse 27 through 29. Again, this is used often, and I think pushed too far to a certain degree. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Even if you push this to an extreme, you are still to eat. That's the command. Eat and drink. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So again, we must understand what is going on. That Paul told these members to stop and examine before they came together and ate the Lord's Supper. We read it. We're not going to go through it verse by verse, but go back to verses 18 through 22. This is why these are imperative to correctly understand Paul's instruction concerning the Lord's Supper. Also, the verses afterwards, 33 and 34, are imperative to understanding Paul's instruction here. And we're not going to read these all again, but what were the Corinthians doing where they were not discerning the Lord's body? Some of them were eating all the food. Again, remember, when they had the Lord's Supper, it was an actual supper. Which is why I like when we do our fellowship meals and then we do the Lord's Supper. That is the most proper way. It was a literal supper. I'm not saying you can't do it the other way. We're doing it tonight. But you need to have an understanding when these instructions were given. They're given in the context of a community meal, an actual meal. And there were people showing up, and primarily it seems here in the text to be the wealthy individuals. They were getting to the church early, or many times it was even in their house, so they're already there. And they were eating all the food before everybody else got there. Which is why Paul says in verse 33, wait, don't start eating until everybody shows up. If you're that hungry, verse 34, eat before you go. If you honestly are that hungry, you need to eat at your own house before you go to the church house and have that community meal. He's not saying everyone needs to wait while everybody else prays. He was literally saying, don't start eating until everybody gets there. Why? Because people were getting there early and they were eating all the food. And Paul's gives a dire warning to them. He says, you guys are coming in. You're being gluttonous. You're drinking everything. You're not sharing. You're being selfish. And you're not properly discerning the Lord's body. What is he talking about? You don't understand that each one is a part of this. You can also read there in chapter 1. We're not going to go back there. But divisions were rampant in their church. The wealthy looked down at the poor, the Jew looked down at the Gentile, the master looked down at the slave. Paul's followers all congregated over here and ate. Peter's followers all gathered over there and they ate. It was this divisiveness and selfishness that drew Paul's strong warning. Their divisiveness and selfishness was a mockery to the very purpose of the occasion, which was supposed to be unity and sacrifice. And Paul harshly condemned that. The Corinthians had forgotten this was a family meal, and it was to be eaten in unity, one with another. It didn't matter if they were rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, servant or master, man or woman, child or adult. All were to sit at the table and eat together as a representation of the unity that is found in Jesus Christ. Now, because most people miss this about the Lord's Supper, they misunderstand Paul's instruction and command to examine. Paul wanted them to examine their conduct as it related to their church family, not necessarily their personal moral failures. Before they separated into their cliques and ate all the food, they needed to examine themselves. Is this really what we should be doing? Or should we wait for all of our brothers and sisters to get here before we eat? If they didn't do that, examine, and come to the conclusion that they should wait, if they separated themselves into cliques and ate selfishly, Paul said, you're eating and drinking damnation to yourself. Why were they eating and drinking damnation? Because they were not properly discerning the Lord's body. They had forgotten this is a family meal. This is not our clique's meal and those people's meal and their meal. So before they came and ate, Paul said, you need to remember what this is about. This is a community meal. If you eat any other way, you're eating and drinking damnation to yourself. Not necessarily if you said an unkind word to your wife and you haven't confessed that and you took the Lord's Supper, you're eating and drinking damnation to yourself. I'm not saying you shouldn't confess that. I'm saying that's to misunderstand what Paul is getting at. Again, the primary point here is that the Corinthians were forgetting that this meal was not individual, it was a community meal. Now again, we don't always eat an actual meal before we partake of the Lord's Supper. To be honest, I do like it when we do that, because it reinforces the point of what we're doing. We're having a meal with each other. And then we're reminding ourselves in that meal about what Christ has done for us. As we partake of the bread and the cup tonight, remember that you do so as a family. You don't have to stare at the ground while the elements get passed. And that's what deep introspection and somberness does. If you were sitting at a table, would you stare at the ground? Or would you look at the brothers and sisters at the table? Again, because we don't actually sit at a table, we miss all of this. And that's why it's good to sit at a table sometimes. We're reminding ourselves, this is more than just me. Now, as we sit in our pews in solidarity, we forget that. It's not about you. It's about us. And as you sit at the table with your brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't think it's wrong to look at them and smile. I think God would be happy with that. But we become so introspective and such in a need to examine ourselves that all we do is stare at the ground and think of our sins. I think it's good and proper to look across at the table at your family. It's hard the way we have it tonight because we're sitting in the fashion that we do. But it's okay. The last time we took the Lord's Supper, I had Brian sitting beside me, and I talked with him. I didn't have to stay quiet as a mouse. I talked with him about what we're doing. Isn't this exciting? You get to be a part of this. Again, even tonight, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, remember you do so with your family. Look around. These are God's people. And I have the privilege to sit at the table with them and eat of the supper. Not sitting there only thinking about myself. I think you don't discern the Lord's body. I think discerning the Lord's body is understanding we're sitting here all together. Sinner, sinner, saved by grace, and praise God that we're able to partake at God's table. So as we come to the Lord's table tonight, I ask that you not just come with gravity, but with gladness. In a few moments, we're going to sing some songs. I encourage you to lift up your voice and sing like you've never sung before. Are you a sinner? Unfortunately, yes. Did you do some things this week that were wrong? Unfortunately, yes. If you need to get that right, get it right. I would encourage you to already have that right, but if you need to get it right, get it right. But then remember that God is a God of grace and forgiveness. So sing. Be happy. And then I want us all to remember that as we sit at the table tonight, that we do not sit by ourselves. And don't ever forget that. It's not just you partaking. We are partaking. Brothers and sisters in the same family. And to be honest, this is your truest family. Again, we miss that. But your truest family are not those of your blood. It's those washed in the blood. And you tonight get to sit with other members of your family, all sinners. But at the table, we're all equal because we've all been forgiven in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So partake and be joyful as you partake. Let's pray.